This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batzer with Gregory Copley, the editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs, writing most recently about the People's Republic of China's offensive against the whole of the Indo-Pacific using the debt weapon. How does it work? We now have news from Sri Lanka, which is in complete collapse for governance, for confidence, for fuel, for food. And the president, the family of the president, everybody named Rajapaksa seems to have either departed or about to depart from a collapsed economy. The new prime minister, the new president, is a man who was allied with the Rajapaksa family, and that hasn't solved anything. Wickrem Singh is the new president of Sri Lanka. But the debts are huge, and the debts are a result of the People's Republic of China's Belt and Road Initiative, transferring large currency amounts into the hands of the Rajapaksas, who built an airport, I'm told, that isn't used, to Colombo, and built a port that isn't used, although it might be someday used by the People's Liberation Army Navy. Update us on Sri Lanka, and is this representative of what other parts of the Indo-Pacific can expect if they start taking money from Beijing or continue to take money, Gregory?
Yes, the Belt and Road Initiative loans, which the People's Republic of China have made available to people in the Indo-Pacific region and Africa, are, in fact, being reasserted, shall we say. The PRC now sees that it has an advantage in dominating and controlling some of the assets which it financed, such as that Hambantota harbor and airport in Sri Lanka, for example, which has basically been unproductive since the money was sort of lent to the Rajapaksa family to create those two entities. So the debt trap is well and truly alive. I think that Beijing will probably attempt to renegotiate some of those debts so as to gain even more control over some of the states in the Indo-Pacific. And when we look at the Indo-Pacific, we have to also look at the Indian Ocean states in Africa, because right now the top PRC foreign ministry official, Ambassador Xu, in charge of Africa, is on a six-nation visit to Africa, and a lot of the emphasis of that will be on visits to three Indian Ocean maritime countries of Africa, to basically to reconsolidate the PRC's ability to dominate that ocean.
And what we have then is a debt weapon being used routinely. Everybody sees it, Gregory. That's the puzzle. Mm. There's no mystery here. For example, the Solomons. We've spoken of the Solomons. And the prime minister there knows that money's coming. He knows that there's opposition to taking the money from the PRC. Is there anyone opposing the PRC debt weapon? Is Australia, is New Zealand, is the United States, to your understanding?
Well, yes, they're opposing it, and yes, they're trying to come up with policies to counter that. What we did see with the Prime Minister of the Solomons just in the past week has said, look, I understand the sensitivities, but we will not allow a PLA Navy base to be put in place in the Solomon Islands. But you've got others where you've got more discreet approaches, more claims that these facilities are being used for tourism and other things in both Kiribati and Vanuatu and the like. And we saw the U.S. really try to create a sense that it would oppose and counterbalance China in this regard at the recent Pacific Islands Forum in Suva, Fiji, the capital of Fiji. And the U.S. got a very strong round of support in that. Vice President Kamala Harris did a video linked speech to that gathering of the Pacific Islands Forum. China was not invited to that Pacific Islands Forum, despite the fact that the Prime Minister of Fiji, Commodore Bainimarama, has been very sympathetic towards Beijing in recent years. And when two defense attaches from the PRC embassy in Fiji surreptitiously entered the forum meeting without an invitation, they were spotted and thrown out of that meeting. So there's some sense that the U.S. is pushing back and can push back. The Australian government is definitely trying to push back, but the new administration there is very disorganized in this regard. The U.S. is not yet doing well enough. There's been some outcry in Australia that some of the aid which had been given to some of the South Pacific states by Australia, and particularly these very expensive patrol ships which were built in Australia for the South Pacific, have not been wanted by the South Pacific nations because they're too expensive to run and they're not suited to the missions that the states require. So Australia, New Zealand and the US are really having to rethink this problem, but at least the region has been put on notice that, yes, they can play Beijing off against Washington and Canberra, but they also know that their future is at stake and they don't want to necessarily be caught in the debt trap, such as Kiribati, Vanuatu, and the Solomon Islands have become.
The Pacific Islands, all of these, called Oceania. Is this a fresh contest, Gregory? Was this ignored by New Zealand and Australia and the U.S. for many years until the PRC showed up? I'm trying to judge why all of a sudden there's all this activity.
No, it hasn't been ignored, particularly by Australia and New Zealand. Australia and New Zealand to this day provide much more humanitarian and financial and economic aid to the South Pacific states than does the PRC, and certainly more than the US has been providing, except, of course, the US provides support for the US territories in the region. But the reality is that the PRC has become that much more aggressive. It is absolutely mirroring the Imperial Japanese Greater Asia co-prosperity sphere of the 1930s and 40s, when Japan was trying to push island by island further south to gain control of oceanic seaways, right, and of minerals in Papua New Guinea, Australia, Indonesia, and the like. And the PRC is absolutely mirroring that. And right now they have ships and facilities literally within, right on the territorial waters of Australia. So now it's been the Australian and New Zealand and US governments haven't responded as aggressively as they needed to, and they're now starting to do so. But they have been putting more in there.
Gregory Copley, Defense and Foreign Affairs. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.